The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 19th of November, 2016. Go out to motivationandmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's 10 paragraphs with 5 bullet points per paragraph. And our 30-day program, which really consists of the first time I've put anything with a power rack workout and a conventional lift with it. So you've got the bench press with the lockouts. You've got basically the squat conventionally and then a lockout with that, how to do that. And in the middle of the week, we do a lot of sandbag lifting and training, and I give you the one movement with a sandbag that I use to get myself in really good conditioning for stone lifting. And it's not only that now, man. I'm flipping tires like there's no end. So there's going to be an awful lot of new stuff out there. I want to thank Martin Janzicks for a lot of that. And obviously Martin's out in Scotland, who we plan on going away with and meeting in June. If everything goes to the way we've got it set up, we'd be meeting in Iceland, then going to his homeland of Scotland and lifting all the famous stones. And then we're going to go to Wales to finish the trip up. And we haven't really announced it or not. We'd be going in June, it looks like. And I've already had people that aren't even stone lifters that just want to go on the voyage. The first thing they're saying, we'll film, we'll do everything. We'll let you know more on that, but we're all training with the idea of going away next year. So it's pretty exciting stuff. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We've got the biggest vault of information you'll ever see out there and here. Go out there, check everything out. And, of course, you know my deal with new people coming on, and I'm going to bring in Tanya Christina momentarily. This will be the first time she's ever been on M&M, and we hope she'll like it enough to want to come back. But before I bring her in, I've been doing this on probably the last 10 shows, maybe 8 shows, and I've been reading excerpts out of books that I really like. A lot of manliness to them. You know, it goes on both ways. We like strong females here. That's why we have them on. But, you know, like everybody that I know of on this show's got a heart of gold. I don't care how tough they act or how rugged their exterior looks. They're real powers from within. Now, I'm going to read a little excerpt out of a lifetime of observations and reflections on and off the court. John Wooden was a famous coach for UCLA, and I've read a lot of his stuff, and he is unbelievable. And it's called Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. It's called The Opinion of Others, and I've been hearing so many things as of late. I'm like to the point where I could really do a show just on this, but we're going to hit this, and I'm going to introduce Tanya, and I'm going to ask her for her opinion on it, because some of the stuff she does, she's a mindset specialist, so we're probably going to get into that among many other things today. Here it goes. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion and yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. I'm going to read that again. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And as you all know, on this show, I quote my dad at the end, and he always said, and even though he's not here with me face-to-face anymore, he always said to all of us, be a leader, not a follower. Well, like I said, Tanya Christine is on with us today. I'm going to give you a little information on her. Number one, she's an SFG Level 2 kettlebell instructor. She's in the strength training. She's a figure competitor. She's been in the competitions, a power lifter, and the one I'm really into, too, is the mindset specialist. Tanya, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'm honored beyond words to be on your show.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, anything I missed, give out anything you want in your bio. Obviously, I know you have a website. Give all that out, and we're going to introduce you to everybody, please.
Sure. So my name is Tanya Christina. Like Eric said, I'm a certified Strong First Level 2 kettlebell instructor, also certified mindset coach through the Mindset Performance Institute, and I'm also a professional chef, believe it or not.
That's awesome.
So kind of a jack of all trades, expert of none kind of thing. And I'm currently also studying sports nutrition through Precision Nutrition, just to better myself and provide maybe a little bit more value for my clients. So I work with my partner. His name is Luca Kirster. He's also Strong First certified in kettlebells, in body weight and barbell. And we have our facility in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It's called Heartstyle Kettlebell Montreal. And we teach strength and conditioning mainly through the use of kettlebells, sandbags, body weights. And if you want to find us on the web, you would go to heartstylekettlebell.ca. You can find our Facebook page under Heartstyle Kettlebell MTL, MTL short for Montreal. We have an Instagram called Kettle Beast. So you can find us there. And I'm also working on a project. It's called I'd Rather Be Strong. And it's a community it's trying to bring together a community of women who want to inspire and empower other women to embrace strength in all aspects, mind, body, spirit. So that's something we can maybe talk about later in the show.
Sure. That's not a problem. This is a question I lead off with everybody, man or woman on here. For me, I'll just give my example and then we'll run with what you got here. Anybody that's listened to the show knows my brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy. He passed away from it very early. That was one of the main inspirers. The show, everything, the business is in his honor. And then second, the Incredible Hulk. And that was mainly because, as a kid, when you watch the cartoons and now, the show that was out, I think it was in the 70s. I mean, it's all over the place. And, of course, they've had different variations of the Hulk. I thought the 2008 one with Liv Tyler in it was out of sight. It was the Hulk the way I always envisioned him, the way I always thought he looked. And as a kid, there was just something about that strength, that metamorphosis. So the question I have for you, Tanya, is this. What inspired you early on to get in the physical culture, to want to be better, to want to be stronger? I mean, whether it was a family, a comic book, cartoons like myself. What was it that got you fired up into the weight world? We'll just leave it like at that right there.
Sure. So I know, Eric, that when you do these introductions, that's the common question that you ask if there was a character or a superhero or, somebody who inspired you that way. And yep. I was thinking about that question, and it's funny because I remember – and I was little, I'm talking like between 3 to 5 years old. I remember it was like my father and my mom, my sister wasn't born yet. It was like a ritual to get together, once a week. And we would watch. I remember this so clearly. I don't remember the details of the shows, but I remember watching The Bionic Woman.
Yeah. Yep.
The $6 Million Man. The Incredible Hulk, obviously, and Wonder Woman. So, yep. And I'm thinking back and I'm like, geez, I was, I look back at the dates because I couldn't remember when these shows came out. And I'm looking at the dates. I'm like 1978. I was a baby practically. I was 3 years old. And I remember these things. I don't remember much else about, that time in my life. But I clearly remember that was like, it was a family thing we did. And we watched these shows. And it was great because they were inspirational characters, and I think it stuck with me for whatever reason, right? But if I had to choose one character that influenced me, I think it would be Princess Leia.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember my mom would always put my hair up in those kind of, she looked like she was wearing earmuffs kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember I would be in this like this hairstyle for as long as I can remember. I was always asking my mom, can you put me in the Princess Leia hairdo? And I thought I was kind of like, I was pretty much like a little bit of a rebel kid. I was pretty mouthy and opinionated. And I think that Leia kind of emulated that confident, rebellious woman. And she was a leader. She was a revolutionary. And I think I've always thought of myself as somebody who leads others, you know? So I think it was Princess Leia. She affirmed that women can be, you know, they can be fearless and they can speak their minds and there's nothing wrong with that. And they can take charge of their lives. And that's what I'm all about. I feel like that's my passion, is to be there to help women and to empower them and to inspire them. So,
well,
yeah,
no, go ahead.
And then if we want to take it further in terms of real life superheroes, I think it would obviously, for me, it's my grandfather. He's the only grandparent I still have left, and he's 91 years old.
God bless him.
Yeah, he's still fairly in good health. I mean, his eyesight is going and his hearing is going, but you know, he still moves very well, and he's self-sufficient, and he goes out for his walks every day. He'll still, you know, the man never drove. The man walks everywhere throughout his life, and I remember him being outside all the time. He's a workhorse, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me is something that it really made a big impact in my life, because I see so many people now that, you know, they're, you know, young, 40, 50 years old, and they can't move anymore.
Yeah, they're shot. They're shot
literally, you know. And and it's just really, really sad that there's no more, I feel that there's no more respect for people that do physical work, and we should, you know, we should have a big respect for that. We should embrace that.
God, you nailed that on the head. Your grandfather, Italiano
all the way.
Well, see, this is something I'm going to tell you. I watched this with my grandfather. You know, I watched him as a kid, like the old Rocky Balboa first movie, raw eggs every morning, smoked a cigar. He was a real man's man. I want to say rugged, kind of rough on the edges, hard of gold, but I'll tell you what, and like Carmen Caputo's on here. And he was talking about his grandfather, like yours, who, you know, yours is still alive. I think my grandfather died in his late 80s. I think he was 88 or 89. And he was never sick till then. He went in, they found cancer in him, and he was gone quick. Carmen's grandfather was a longshoreman. And you and I both know a trade like that, any of the trades that these gentlemen were doing, was all hands. And Carmen said to me, which was very interesting, you know, back in the day, I mean, when you could fish and the waters were much better, and, you know, they always ate fresh, because a lot of them back then didn't even own a refrigerator. They'd put stuff on ice. And he had a large family, of course. And, you know, he and his wife, you know, were together to the very end. But the thing that was really interesting, not only was he a big, strong guy, he said he never really heard him complain or get upset about things. You know, when we compare then to now, look, we got a lot of great things now. I'm not putting anything down with that. But you know something? I think when you're working your butt off and you've got a large family to take care of, and however they lived, whether they rented or owned or whatever, you really don't have time for the lot of nonsense that's going on today, whether it's out in the streets or in your living room or whatever. You know, I think that for me, I mean, I love all that rugged stuff. That's why I do what I do, because I don't have a job that requires me to go unload all day or pick big things up or go out and milk cows and all that. And I think America especially, I mean, and you can see it with different eyes being in Montreal, we've really lost an awful lot here. Not everybody is always going to want to work on a computer. Some people are very good, men and women. You look back in time, there are plenty of men and women turning wrenches way back in the day, doing things that you would never think that either one of them could pull off without a machine or somebody else, you know, a crowd of 10 helping them. I got news for you. I had neighbors that used to live around me that were right from Italy, first generation, and their kids were here, obviously, second. And I can remember this guy, Charlie Barbro. He was an awesome guy. And he used to be a cement guy. And this guy could lay down cement and look at leveling just with his eye, where he used to always say, you know, all the new things they use today to make everything perfect and pour and level, they would call him when they could not get something level. He said, I could take a bucket of water and throw it right on, literally on the cement, and tell you where the bad parts were on it. So I agree with you totally. You know, we've got a lot of convenience.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. I mean, hey, if we weren't on a computer right now, I never would have talked to you in Montreal. I mean, that's a great thing. But on the other hand, we are paying. We are suffering for it a lot through the kids now. Obviously, you're talking 25, 40, 50-year-olds. Let me tell you, man, when you can't even get out of your own way at this point, what do you think life is going to afford you in the years ahead? So go ahead, take it, comment on any of that.
So, yeah, absolutely, I agree. And, you know, as a kid, I was really fortunate. My parents, they put me through quite a few sports. I did ballet, I did gymnastics, I did figure skating. I figure skated till, you know, my mid-teens, and then I stopped. I kind of, you know, growing up, teenager, I kind of went into like a weird stage, and I just kind of stopped doing stuff. You know, I gained a little bit of weight, and at some point, somebody said something to me, and I snapped. I snapped in a bad way, because it took me down a really, really bad path. In order to lose weight, I started doing stupid stuff. And basically, I went into the deep, dark hole of anorexia. And, you know, finally, after, you know, many years, I had a friend of mine who was a strength coach, and he's the one that helped me, you know, get back into like a reality where, you know, he was really not, you know, kind with me and took his time with me and made me understand the importance of being strong, you know, and just bringing me out of that awful dark place where I was, you know. And
well, you know something, this happens with all of us. I'll tell you something right now. Like yourself, played a lot of organized sports. I was a good athlete. There's no doubt about it. Loved baseball, football, and all that stuff. But, you know, I want to tell you, and this is what I'm going to ask you next. Obviously, the physical culture, having someone take an interest in you, definitely started changing your whole deal with life. Yeah. I want to tell you something, and I want to ask you this, see if you've ever felt this way, because a number of people have told me the same things. I was very interested in weightlifting, but of course, I skunked my father a lot of times, conning him to buy me things that I wanted to use, like boxing bags and speed bags and, you know, jump ropes and all this stuff. And it got to the point where I said, Dad, I want to get weights. And he's like, no. He said, look at all the stuff we've bought. He says, if you want to go out and work, and he goes, I'll help you with anything. But he goes, I am not going to go out and buy you anything. I was pretty disappointed, let me tell you. Well, it's funny how things work. My aunt and uncle lived over in Connecticut. My cousins were a lot older than me, but my aunt calls my dad one day and says, would Eric be interested in Willie's weight set and bench? So he didn't tell me right away, and he goes, I got something for you. I think we got a set of weights and a bench. I was like, where? And he said, over in your Aunt Gloria's. We're going to go over to Connecticut, have lunch with him. We're going to bring it back. Well, I thought, like, I hit pay dirt for sure. So we go over and get it. It's an old sand set. They're cracked. the plastic they leaked, but I didn't care. So we got the bar, the collars, and it probably wasn't any more than 120 pounds. And my uncle was a woodworker. He was incredible, and he had built the bench out of wood. And it was I don't think he could have broken it, really. It was, like, unreal. So we bring all this stuff back, get back to the house, bring it down the cellar, lay everything out what's there. And I got to tell you, the first time I touched that barbell, I knew right then and there that's where I was. That was my calling right there. It was like I loved the team sports, but what I loved about the barbell was it was like me. It was like I had to rely on me. Obviously, you train with people and people help you out and coach you, et cetera, et cetera. But the idea, the freedom of like, hey, this is me or I fail, you know, it's all on my shoulders here, was so attractive. And it was like when I put my hands on that bar, it was like something just blew right through my brain. And it's like, you know, we always talk about like with the Hulk, you know, we've gotten into discussions outside of the show, inside of the show. And we were sitting one night in a bar and we were talking about all that stuff. And a couple of my buddies started talking about, you know, all our heroes and all that stuff. And we were talking with the Hulk, and they were like, we'll ask you. We'll see what you say first. And I was like, what? And they're like, they came to you right now and said, we want to dump gamma into your system. What would you do? I said, sign me up. I'm on the first plane to wherever they want me to go. Why? Because I love strength. I love that. And I love aggression. Mm-hmm. You know, in the weight room, you've got to have aggression. Anybody that tells you you don't, you're failing miserably then. I like that feeling where the blood is just circulating through you and your mind is so amped. And it's like you unload the weights, you load them up, man. You fail, you make it. Your heart's broken some nights. You break things, unfortunately, you know, all that stuff. And that's what happened when I touched the weight, and that's how it is today. So I know I dumped a lot on you, but take your time and respond to anything you want, please.
Awesome. So it's funny that you mentioned the York plastic set with the sand. Okay, because that was like the exact same first weight set that I went out. I went out here. We have something called Canadian Tire. So it's a store.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, it's like a kind of hardware store. And anyways, they sell fitness equipment. So I went out by myself. I think I was like in my early mid-20s. And I got myself this set, you know, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Right. But at the same time, I was starting to learn because I was training with my friends, who I mentioned before. And one day, like, and this goes back to the, you know, the benefits or what strength training does to you. I just one day I went into the gym and I was by myself, and usually I had my friend training with me and he would spot me, and I felt like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, I can do this. And I loaded the bar to squat, and I was so like ready and so confident that I could do it, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't have anybody spotting me, and I went to squat and I busted my knee.
Oh.
Yeah. But you see, I get it. Like, I get that feeling of having that confidence that, you know, that you can do it, and you anticipate that you're going to do it, you know, and there's nothing there that's going to stop you. That fear just goes. For that split second, I had no fear.
Right.
And it's just, somebody asked me the other day, I was having a conversation with a man, and I was, you know, talking to him about powerlifting, and I was telling him about deadlifting. And he's like, well, how does it because I just want to know, how does it feel for you when you lift that much weight? And my response was, I just looked at him and I'm like, it's just fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's okay.
It's like a high, really. And it becomes addictive, right?
Oh, without a doubt. It's a hunger that I've told you there aren't many. There's only one other hunger that's right, is that in love with somebody, but it's got to be the real stuff. And that's the only thing I've ever seen that matches that head to head, because – you got to love lifting. I mean, you know, who wants to go out there? Most people are not going to go out there and beat the snot out of themselves day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Let's be honest with each other. I mean, you know, when you're playing with dynamite, you can get blown up real easy and things happen. And most people will not put out the effort or go after something that big. Why? Because, like I read, opinions, and they're afraid to fail, and then, you know, their confidence is shattered. Well, I got news for you. If anything, your confidence will become greater if you let it into your life. And the thing is, you know, especially now, I mean, you see as a trainer, I mean, you know, I don't let anybody come here anymore unless I interview them fully now. You know, it's like I go through A to Z with them.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, even kids, they're very damaged right now, very damaged mentally. I've removed people from here where they will literally go to their phone and keep looking at it. And I'm like, gotta leave. When you come in here, you shut that world down and you get into this world, and this world's going to build you a hell of a lot better than your texting buddies all over the place. So, you know, lifting is more than lifting. I'll put it this way, and we say this all the time, and I've gotten funny looks even when I talk about this on the outside. I don't care where you lift. I don't care what you lift, kettlebell, stones, barbells, thick bars, doesn't matter. If you understand the whole analogy of training, all right, I'm not walking around carrying a stone, not unless I'm training somewhere, you know, at my house. But just because I don't have a barbell on my back or a stone in my right hand, it doesn't end here. Mm-hmm. It's in my DNA. It's in my blood. It's in my skin. It's in my bones. It's all there. And I try to tell people the only way you're going to be truly successful with this stuff, with strength. I don't call this a sport either. This is strength personified to me. Is you're going to have to live it. It's going to have to be your life. And I don't care if, hey, I had a job for many years where I was living with the job and living with this. It has to still be part of you at all times. If you can reconcile that within yourself and understand it, I don't care what level you're at, where you want to go, if you want to compete, if you just want to be the strongest guy or gal on the block and lead by example, that's fine, okay? But until you understand the gravity of what you're doing, you're only going to just be mediocre with it because you're not fully in. And if you're not fully in with anything, you know, relationships, your job, your business, your weightlifting, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're not going to like it. And that's why we see so many people drop out of what we love to do. It's all yours. Take it.
Yeah. So there's an interesting quote by Pavel Tsatsouline.
Yep.
He says, and I'm quoting him now, strength is not a data point. It's not a number. It's an attitude.
Yes.
Yes. And I just, I fully agree with that statement. And, you know, we carry our strength everywhere we go. Absolutely. And, you know, same with you. Although we think that for us, you know, for our students, although we have the perspective that strength is for everyone, you know, we really want to work with the average Joe and Jane to make them better using sustainable approaches, because, you know, between you and me, not everybody wants to go lift, you know, 500 pounds on their back.
No, they don't. They don't. I know that. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And which is fine, you know, which is fine, to each his own. But people have to understand that to a certain extent, you know, strength is needed physically and what it does for you mentally. So when people come through our door, we interview them, you know, we make sure that they're in the right frame of mind, and we explain to them that, you know, this is not, it's not a 30-day thing, and then, you know, you show up once a week. And no, it's a discipline. It's a discipline. It's like a martial art. It's, you know, we're very much proponents of the Kaizen philosophy. You need, you know, you need to be present, and you have to do this consistently. And if you want to see results, if you want to see major results in your life, you need to be present, and you need to do this as part of your lifestyle, you know?
That's what it is, a lifestyle. And most people, see, this is why when I came up with the concept of this show, And I used to say it a lot. I still do. I say, everyone here is welcome to my table. I don't care if you lift a 100-pound stone or a 550-pound stone. It doesn't matter, because my attitude with everybody, if you're serious, I'm talking, all right, is everyone has something to lend. And sometimes people think the littlest of littlest things mean nothing, but then someone is listening to them on the show, and they're like, it clicks, all right? So, you know, I never take any opinion for granted, and what might seem nothing to me, someone else might be just dying for it. So that's why I think that we've been very successful with what we do, because we can talk to anybody. I mean, we've had the top tops right down to the regular guy or gal that's in the gym sweating away, whether it's weight loss, they want to get stronger, you know, look better maybe for a wedding, you know, the whole thing. And those are day-to-day people. Those are people that a lot of times to me get kind of pushed to the side, and they're relevant. They've got something to say, and they've got needs too. So I agree totally with you. It's the people that are walking through the door, the general populace, that a lot of them are suffering because of poor gyms, or not, you know, they haven't had good judgment on their own, or they've fallen into traps where it just wasn't going to work. I mean, because if you and I both know, a lot of programs out there, they base them on one thing and they try to plug that into everybody, and that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be systemic failure all over the place. So, you know, you got to be smart enough to be able to look at the person, the he or the she, and say, hey, look, if I bring you in here, you know, I like what you're saying and this and that, but we have a certain way we got to do things. We've got to line your goals up. And I always love saying, you know, small steps equal big gains, which equal big goals. So, you know, go ahead.
So, yeah, talking about the importance of goal setting, I think a lot of people are, you know, they have the intention of, you know, maybe in 2017, I want to be in the best shape of my life. But what does that mean? You know, you know, what does that mean? I think we've lost the definition of fitness. You know, we've lost. It's a mess. Right. And I think that people need to start and ask people to really dig deep inside and find what is it that's really motivating you to do this. You know, is it really just because you want to fit into a bikini in 30 days? You know, is that, you know, like where's the pain trigger? What is it? You know, and that's where, for me, I think the whole mindset perspective is important, because again, I think you really, really need to dig deep inside. If you're going to, you know, embark on a journey of being better and bringing, you know, physical strength into your life and maintaining it in your lifestyle, like you need to get pretty clear with yourself and call bullshit on yourself, you know. And you know, really figure out what story are you telling yourself where you keep getting sidetracked, because it's not the first time you tried and failed, it's not the second time you tried and failed. What is going on in your head, you know? So that's what I try to do with women. I try to focus on really getting them to hold themselves accountable and aware, especially of the way they talk to themselves, especially women. You know, the horrible obsessive compulsive language that they use with themselves, right? Themselves, they're not good enough, you know, or I'm too fat, or I can't do that. You know, I have so many women that they look at what I do and they look at me like I'm a freak of nature. And the first thing that comes out of their mouths is, oh my God, I could never do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop right there, lady. You know?
Yep.
That.
You set yourself up. Go ahead.
You just self-sabotaged, right?
Yeah. Well, this is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to say, because, you know, I didn't just roll out of bed one morning and I'm able to deadlift 300 pounds. No, it's like you said, I set goals for myself, and it's a little bit every day. I push a little bit every day, you know? And if you find the right community, people that, you know, are they're professionals and they're trained and they know what they're talking about, they will guide you. They will get you there, you know? So, yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Well, here's what I want to ask you, Tanya. And then we're going to get more in, because I've got questions on the women's side for you, too. What did you find with yourself that was happening to you when you started training? Did you find a better, you know, obviously it does build killer confidence, but what did you find in yourself? What came out of you internally, which, you know, obviously showed externally? And, you know, there's no doubt about it, mentally, physically, and spiritually, however you want to choose what you worship or what you think, is a big factor in it. But what did you find in you that you started to exhibit that you had never known about yourself?
I think that it gave me, in terms of going inside myself, I think it showed me that path, if you want to call it. It showed me the way, you know, it showed me the way to really connect with myself. And because when I, you know, when I'm training, I don't like to train with other people. I have to be alone. I can't even have like my boyfriend with me. I just freak out. It's like, get out. I need my space. And for me, that's my meditation. And yeah, it really is. It really is. Cause I don't even play music. It's silence. And I focus on my breathing because, I mean, obviously your breathing is, you know, one of the most important factors when you're doing a feat of strength, right? So it really gives me the time, because you know we're so busy during the day, like really who has time to like meditate for 15 minutes? I don't.
You're right. Yeah.
So
no, I don't either.
I use the strength training as my vehicle to connect with myself, and I think that I've learned a lot about myself, and I've come to terms with stories that I tell myself. And obviously it's allowed me to build confidence. It's empowered me to the point where I was able to identify what I want to do with my life, you know, It led me to quit my job. Like I had a good job. I was making good money, but I wasn't happy. It wasn't serving me, you know? And when I quit, you know, I had people come up to me, and it's so funny. I want to tell this story because it's just the way people think, you know, that people think that we have to do things a certain way. And I'm like the most unconventional person. Like I don't follow the pack. And I think to a certain extent, everybody in the strength world doesn't follow the pack. Right.
Yeah.
So it was funny because when I quit and some of my colleagues found out, I had people coming up to me saying, where are you going? Where, you know, like they figured I was going to another company. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. And they looked at me like, what? What do you mean? Like, how are you going to pay your bills kind of thing, you know? And I'm like, I have decided that I'm going to craft and create the life that I want. Is that okay with you? Do I have your permission? You know? And,
nice. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was just like, people are just strange that way, that they think that there's only one way, you know, there's only one way to live. And no, there's not only one way. You need to find yourself and you need to find your way. And I was just, you know, so going back to the whole, you know, the empowerment and confidence that strength training did for me, it and the meditation that it is for me and the discipline that it has become for me has just given me so much love for life, you know, and being better and just pushing myself all the time. And even just with this interview, I've never done an interview in my life and I was very fearful, but you know what? Do something that scares you. Do it. You know, that way scares you. You got to do it, you know?
Yep.
So that's what it is for me. Yeah.
Put yourself on the ledge and see if you fall off or not. That's the best way to do it. Here's what I want to ask you, because I understand and it's great that you're trying to tell women that there's more out there than, you know, because so many people, men and women, they live in a fear-based world, and that's probably pretty much when they were coming to you. Well, how could you leave? Well, most of them are afraid to you know, get up a half an hour early if they can. There's just fear-based everything. But what do you find with, regardless what age it is, what do you find in women that you are trying to get them to realize that they can be extraordinary instead of ordinary? What is there a common denominator you find when they come to you? I mean, obviously, it's the obvious stuff. Weight loss, I want to get stronger, blah, blah, blah. Well, because you're into the mental end, which I love so much, but you can comment on the other things. Let's go to the mental end. Let's dig up the mental hole here. What are women facing mentally a lot, and is it that much different than the men you coach?
I think women have different – first of all, they have different apprehensions, and I think – we need to take somewhat of a different approach when trying to, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word, sell or promote strength to them. They have real fears. Women have real fears when it comes to strength training. And although I think that we're seeing more and more women embrace strength sports like powerlifting, strongman, and dare I say CrossFit, I think many, especially many older women, may have very rigid attitudes towards these activities. So for me, my goal is really to reach out to a certain demographic, say 35 and up, and show them that, you know, it's doable, and it's never too late. And more importantly, that there's countless benefits that come along with it, obviously, you know, psychological, physiological. And I think that I just, you know, for me, like what I'm trying to do is just start a conversation and an introspection to what's possible, you know, for women, a realization of their potential as women and that, you know, they can become stronger than they ever imagined. I mean, for God's sakes, we give birth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what kind of like I get thrown aback all the time when a woman says, "Oh, but you know, I could never do that." And well, I don't want to get big. What do I need to be strong for?
I was going to ask you that. That's what I was going to ask next.
That for sure is a common denominator. The fear that they're going to like grow huge muscles overnight. And I mean,
that's not happening. Well, believe me.
And I think the problem with that also is what we see on social media.
There's
a lot of women out there that have huge muscles, but you know, they're using, and this is what women don't understand, is that a lot of these girls, a lot of these athletes out there, you have to understand that they're, you know, as much as we'd like not to believe it, it's happening, you know,
people
are using things, you know, so they're, even if it's a little something, there's a little something going on. So it's, you know, it's that education that is lacking, you know, and I think that's where we have to kind of try and push the education onto women and, you know, make them realize that they're, you know, I call it strengthuality. Okay.
So
for me, it's a personal journey of embracing what is possible in order to create change in mind and body. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to get out there to the women, you know, and I think women also have this, they feel guilty, you know, they feel guilty of maybe taking that hour to go to the gym and, you know, do their thing because, you know, they have kids at home or the husband needs attention. So I think there's a lot of guilt that comes with that as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I think that, you know, the men in their lives also have to encourage them. I think there's also a lack of education on the men's side, like these husbands. You have to empower your wives. You have to, you know, give them their space and let them, you know, encourage them. So
without a doubt. I mean, look. You know what the whole problem is? It's like some people get it late in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have been doing it forever, and it's different when you're in a – well, it works much better if you're in a relationship with somebody, if you're a trainer and they train. Because usually, because most – you know, it'd be impossible for me to go out with just a regular girl and think it's going to work because my hours are insane. What I do would be insane to them, et cetera, et cetera. But – You know, when you're facing, especially as a guy or a girl, you know, you've been together X number of years, you both got to work because of you've set yourself into these financial holes that requires it. You've got, say, two or three kids home that might be, ready to go into teens, and you got all that to deal with. And then, you know, you want to be in shape. Look, how much better is a relationship when each partner really cares about themselves and you have even a better relationship? Because not only that, you have things to talk about like that. It's exciting to say, hey, you know what, next year, you know, I'll be down two dress sizes. And the guy will say, well, I'll be down, you know, my waist will go from a 43 down to a 39, you know, things of that nature. And don't anybody out there, people do talk about that stuff. So I think it sets up a much stronger life together. But the point's going to be, both of you are going to have to make concessions to make it work, because we know that the way things are now, you know, most people, they might not get home till 5, 6, 7 at night. Mm-hmm. You got to take care of the kids, the baths, the homework. And then, you know, you want to make time for one another, because there's no way you can keep going opposite directions and think anything's going to stay together, you know. And I think in today's world, what I see, and I have friends like that too, it's pretty easy just to say, well, it's not working out, see you around. You know, and if that's the way you're going to be, well, you know, from Italian background, I'd be pretty traditional there, and you never would have, I've never seen that anywhere in my family. There's no divorce in my family at all, knock on wood. I don't know all the things that went on with stuff. And I know a lot of people stay together for the kids. I have no idea about that, but I never saw any of that, never was privy to any of that. And my whole thing is, if you can't be loyal to the one you love, and I know things happen, I'm not naive, but if you can't be loyal and truthful and faithful, well, you know what the black hand used to, I can tell you, I know what they used to do to people. You don't fool around with people. You don't fool around with love. You don't fool around with family. And you sure as hell don't screw somebody to the wall. So I think, I know I went off track a little bit there, but it all comes back to this. You should want to get in shape. Your wife should want to be in shape. You should want to be in shape. And that's something you can share in your life that's so beneficial. Why not build each other up? Why tear each other down? I never saw that. And I never saw any reason to do that. So that's just my little opinion on that.
Absolutely. And, it makes me think of, when you're on a plane and they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you put it onto your child, right?
Yeah.
You need to be, in order for you to be strong and be able to take care of everyone else, it's got to be you first, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, you know something? You and I both know. I mean, we love doing all these different things we do. I mean, we die for it. But the bottom line is, if your health isn't first, I don't lift stones. You don't power lift. You know, you and I don't get to come on here and talk about the mental end of things. We don't get to go out and promote things where we want women to be strong, vital, and have the ability to do things on their own. And it's the same way with the men. Be a good husband. Be a good father. Go out and get your health back. Go when you go home, things will be much better for you. And they always, you know, they love to use that word stress, which is to me is way overblown. Mm-hmm. But for anybody that doesn't know, and I'm sure Tanya's told all the girls there and guys, and same with me, it eats that stuff alive, because you start building yourself mentally. It's like, I know I have days that are just, I don't know if we're going to be able to come back. If things happen that are so bad, but somehow, some way, I always figure a way out of it. Even if I feel like I had my knees broken out from under me, what happens to you? You reach a level and you'll keep building on that level where things that would have shattered you 10 years ago, you kind of look at them and go, huh, like that. And I'm not kidding you when I say that. But the thing is, with entrepreneurship, women, men, anything we do, anything we try to conquer, because let's face it, we are conquerors, all of us. That's what we need to be. We need to learn how to conquer anything we're engaged in that is testing us. And I say that with entrepreneurship, with a passion and love like nothing else. And I encourage people like you wouldn't believe, but I always tell them, here's a disclaimer. You're going to get knocked on your ass for quite a while. And even when you get your success, however you deem your success, you're going to get busted down on your knees again. Mm-hmm. You're going to have days where you're like, I don't know if I can make it today. I don't know if the business is going to last. I don't know if I can go out and go to Iceland and lift that big stone again. There's going to be a lot of I don't knows. But for some reason and somehow, you know, they like to say the little voice inside. Well, there is a voice inside. There's a voice inside you and inside your head that's going to tell you, like Mickey said in Rocky, it was like, get up, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you. All right? Whatever it is you equate to your success, whether it's a passage you read over and over, whether it's something somebody said to you, you know, I look to my brother Jimmy all the time for inspiration. I always say he's the angel on my right shoulder, no matter what. No matter what happens, if I sit there and just think about him or even pray, I don't care. I do whatever I got to do, and I always get through it. Go ahead, take it.
So I think that the strength training, obviously, I think it builds a very dynamic mindset where you're able to be in that moment, you know. Yes, yep. Of course we all have ego, and yes, of course we all, you know, we all tend to think of the future and oh my god my past and oh my god what's going to happen. But at the same time, I think that people who have who strength train and who have this attitude and this philosophy, I think we're able to pull ourselves out of ego a lot easier than maybe, say, you know, some average Joe.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that we just have a more dynamic mindset. And, you know, mindset for me is everything. It really is. Because yeah. If you keep telling yourself story after story after story, your life is going to amount to nothing in the end.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yeah. It's really powerful. It really is. And it's important to just start. I think people need to start being aware, yeah. of the stories that they tell themselves, you know, because people are, they're not even aware. So they need to understand that your mind is constantly going off on all sorts of different tangents. And it's not real.
No, it's not.
It's not real. It's not. And it's being influenced by you know, everything that you're taking in, you know, and it's just a mishmash of nonsense.
Right. So, right. You got to be a filter in a lot of ways. And really, success is all attitude. And I'll tell you, I say three words to myself constantly. I say it the minute I get up. If I'm shaving, I'll say it in the mirror until I'm done. Health, wealth, success. Nothing you have that will get right through your subconscious and you'll start building. It's all these things where you're like, I need to be success. Your mind is not going to interpret that properly and it's going to go nowhere. And then people say, well, when I say this suggestive stuff to my mind, you know, to my subconscious, I'm not getting anywhere. Well, you're not using it correctly. And some of the two most powerful words you can keep saying to yourself is I am. I am, I am. Keep saying that to yourself. All these things work. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere in anything if you don't start clearing your mind. If you're afraid to sit by yourself, and Tanya was saying in the beginning, to meditate. I tell people that all the time. I'll go sit in the corner of a room and sit there as long as I can without things entering my mind, and I'm getting better and better at it, because your mind is always restless. It's always working. And that's because of all the crap we're sucking in all day. You know, we're texting all day. We're on a laptop. All these things are coming at you visually. It's coming right through you. And it's like you're never going to get anywhere until you can shut it off. And I don't mean all day. But, man, if you can take a half hour out of your day and quiet yourself, wait to see what your life is going to become. All those things that you never thought you could get are going to start materializing one by one by one. Now, is it going to happen tomorrow? No. But you're going to start seeing things that are going to start happening that you're going to be like, holy cow. I mean, it was like, I was thinking about that 2 weeks ago. Or you're going to get something in your sleep. You know how I found, you know how I came up with motivation and muscle? It came to me. I kept putting it out there. One night I woke up in the middle of the night and I got motivation and muscle. I got right up, turned the light on, wrote it down, went back to bed. That was it. Mm-hmm. It was concentrating on something that I wanted, and away we go. So none of this stuff is impossible, but the thing is you got to give yourself to it. And I think right now it's very difficult for people, and a lot of people aren't that determined or dedicated to do this. And this is what lifting teaches you. You know, mindset is great. You want to do every movement in the world. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in. But what I found outside behind me right now is the best training I've ever done in my life. Why? Because I train alone. Once in a while, we got people coming over here. But I like going out there and either having it bust me down or I bust it. All right? It's very important because these life lessons, you're never going to learn from some. You know, Tanya could come and teach me, I'm sure. And I could teach her stuff. But the thing is, and I'll go right to you, out in that yard's been my best teacher ever. I've had great people in my life. I've been very fortunate. And I was very fortunate I had a family that I still have. Obviously, we've lost a lot of them. But, you know, I grew up in a pretty tough house. I mean, you know, Jimmy and my parents and how wonderful they were to him, how much we loved Jimmy and took him everywhere and all that. I learned early on sometimes life isn't fair.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that don't bother me that kill people. And I'll have people say to me, you're cold. Mm-hmm. I say, no, I'm not cold, but I've lived some things that you never have, or you're just discovering it now. I understand them. I've already conquered them. They're not conquering me anymore. And that's why I feel that you have to do things like that and have the ability to start seeing things for what they are. They're not always going to show you right away. It's like people. You know, there's people that come in your life, you think they're great, and a month later they're a piece of garbage. Yeah. You get rid of them. You don't keep them around. I don't keep anybody around anymore that I feel is a vampire. I used to let people hang out because I liked them. Well, it doesn't mean I don't like them anymore, but they're not good for my life. And that's why I say the weights, everybody on the show, all the family all through the show, that's the second family. The stuff behind me has taught me as much, if not more, than my parents did, because I shouldered responsibility and I decided at that point, no matter what happened, this was going to be forever. And I plan on it. I always say we'll be doing this for another 28 years unless God strikes me dead. That's the only thing that's going to kill me. So, you know, I think if you live a life like that with that passion and you can keep yourself on the straight and narrow, even though we all veer, we have some bad things happen, whether it's to you, the family, but you always find a way to get through it. You know, we talked about success is attitude. Well, yeah, success, winners win. That's the way it is. A lot of people don't want to hear this kind of talk. Oh, it's not, it's mean. It's, you know, everybody should win. No, that's not how it works. This is why we have greatness all over the world, because there are certain people that were better than things than others. And that's the way it should be. You know, I've said this before, Tanya. Girls can do things better than I can in some things, and I can do better than them in other things. That's why you hopefully find a woman or a guy you want to be with, and it works that way. I mean, I don't see where all the friction is, but that's me. Mm-hmm. Take it, summarize anything you want, give out all your information. I'll give mine, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So just touching on the point you made that, you know, people tend to call you cold. It's funny because a lot of people have called me the same. And I'm thinking of it, and in the way you described it, that you've had, you know, quite a few hardships in your life. And sure. And I don't think it's a question that it makes you cold. It toughens you up. But I think it's more in line with being stoic. Does that make sense? You know, you're enduring pain and the hardship, but you don't need to go around showing your feelings about it or complaining about it. Right.
I agree.
And that's very much the way I am. I'm, you know, I keep a lot of things inside. Yes, I'm a tough cookie, and I just, you know what, I just bulldoze, you know, do it, you know, and I don't complain. I don't, you know, I thought that was really interesting that you, people describe you as being cold. It's because they obviously, they're not understanding, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I think it goes back to my father more than anything. My father was a typical Italian, you know, man of the house. That's what he always wanted to be. He was a leader, no doubt about it. But my father was and I'm kind of this way in a lot of ways too, because I've had people, when I'm around my nieces and nephews, they're like, I never knew you were like that. I'm like, what do you mean? Like what? It's like, well, those kids are like running over the top of you and you're out playing with them. And I said, I love the kids. I mean, what's that? I think the personification is this guy's a hard guy, and he that's the way he is all the time. That isn't even close to what I am. But my father was not a guy that handed out compliments easy or told you he loved you. You knew he always loved you, and the thing I drew from my father, and I'm a lot that way too. If I compliment you, that's coming from my heart. I don't hand it out like popcorn, all right? It's the same thing with I love you. When my dad told me that, I knew he loved me. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same way. I don't hand out I love you to anybody either. You know why? It's too damn easy for people to say it and not mean it. Yeah. There's certain things in my life I don't hand out easy to people. And I think then they get the wrong perception. But you know what? I don't aspire to being like a lot of different people. I admire people. There's people I love hanging around with, doing things with. I'm meeting newer and newer people that I really connect to because of where we're going and what we're doing, even if it's different things. But I think there's certain things, man, for me, that's the way I behave. And if you read that wrong, well, I guess maybe we both meet, you know, miss out on one another if that's the way it's going to be. But, you know, my dad, you know, whether it's fashionable or not now, he was a man's man. And my mother was never neutralized. My mother was the good guy. That's what we still call her. You know, dad would drop the hammer, man. And, you know, Ma was always the good guy. But I'll tell you what about my mother. You don't want to piss her off, because then you're in serious trouble. My mother would take much more before she'd get upset, but my dad, man, you piss him off, look out. You know what I mean? And it was just the way it was. You know, that's what I loved about my father so much. You knew where you stood with him all the time. To me, that is very important to me as a man, and I'm sure it's important to you as a woman. You need to know where you stand. Where's your loyalty? Are you behind me no matter what? Is there anything that could ever separate the two of us? That's the way, you know, like I say all the time, I wish my dad was still alive. I mean, you know, you talk about Godfather and all that. There was a lot of truth with the consigliere. I was like my father, man. I would love to be able to go to him with questions or talk about the business to him, because my father not only would have been boldly honest with me, but I never had to worry about him saying a damn thing to anybody. Mm-hmm. It was like me and him would take it to the grave with us. And not that there was anything funny going on, but too many people, you know, my pop used to say it to me all the time. Don't tell people what you don't want them to repeat. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to that. But I got off a little bit. I'm sorry. Continue with summarize anything and give all your stuff out, will you, please?
So, I think I'm just really – really happy that I found something that makes me feel alive. And yeah. And the community is like, the people that are involved in Strength are just, oh my God, like awesome, awesome people. Just, you know, the difference I saw from when I did my bodybuilding show to when I did my powerlifting competition, the sense of community is completely different. And I think that for me, I just felt a lot more comfortable with the powerlifting crowd. And, sure. You know, that's not to put down bodybuilding, you know, and that's, it was just, I figured out that it was not my thing. And I just, you know, I have like the utmost respect for you guys, you know, guys like Bud Jeffries, Steven Santangelo, sure. Like Steven Santangelo is my go-to nutrition guy. I send him a Facebook message and I ask him questions all the time. And he's so sweet. He just replies like, no problem. You know, he takes the time and I can tell like he's really invested, you know, and same thing with Bud Jeffries. Sure. Like I send him messages and he replies. And to me, these people are like, honestly, they're like celebrities to me. And I'm like, wow, Bud Jeffries made a comment on my Facebook.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you know Steven's on here with me all the time, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. I didn't know. And because I get stuff from Steven all the time. His stuff, there's nobody out there that can touch his greens or minerals or anything like that. Steven has done me many favors, and same way with Bud. Like I said, Tanya, I'm glad you've been added to the family now. We've got the best of the best here. I mean, I never met so many people that give a damn in my life. Never. Yeah. But go ahead.
So I'm just really happy to have found the familia.
Yeah. Yeah. La family.
La familia.
Yep.
So thank you for having me. And I guess I'll just leave you with my website. So for our studio, again, it's Heartstyle Kettlebell Montreal. And you can find us on the web at heartstylekettlebell.ca, Instagram, Kettle Beast. And we have a Facebook page, which is Heartstyle Kettlebell MTL. And if you're interested in the project that I'm working on, which is I'd Rather Be Strong, so you just type that into Facebook, I'd Rather Be Strong altogether, and you will find the page. We're just getting started, so we're just getting our momentum going. And we're going to be sharing a lot of stories from women especially women who have had to deal with a struggle in their lives and how they embrace strength training and how that helped them get through their struggles. So look out for more, and that's it. So,
well, the next time we have you on, I hope we got some stuff. Well, there's so much more we can hit, but that would be great to start bringing that alive too, because with all the listeners here, I mean, there's no doubt someone of those stories, like I always say, you know, you could say something that means nothing to us, but boy, somebody out there heard that and said, holy cow, I've got it now. So it's important. Just hang on. I'm going to finish up. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and also the other free ebook, the 30-day program. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows, and I'm going to try to have this show up within 5 days. I got a stack, but next week is it for the rest of the year, so I'm going to have plenty of time with the business to work on that and all the stuff we'll get caught up on. As you all know, go out to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. You know that we're streaming internet radio, and some of the directories we're out on is Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and all the new cars have the ability to podcast in them now, and we are on AHA. That's the directory, AHA. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Tanya and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with this. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give inspiration. 5 words can change your life. And we already talked about stuff like that. We know that from experience. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, squat it, push it, and press it, and pull it. Also, too, if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone says, the crusher. In Blood Red, it says domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I always say, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. As Russell Fur says, who's been on the show, who's listened to the show from the beginning, and who's a guest on the show. When I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Russell, we will say that for the next 28 years. And as I always say, John Ridge, my father, Frank Klein, was repetition, repetition, repetition. He was the greatest college teacher I've ever had. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for a long time, we lost 2 years ago to cancer. And John was like a father figure to me in a lot of ways because my dad had been gone so long. He pushed me so hard in this business. And he said two words to every patient he walked to the door: keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. And John would be so pleased that I've kept his memory alive with that. I love John, my father, and Frank. These were men that were so instrumental in my growth as a man. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 of your friends, because as you all know, we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. I promise you, this is the best 28 years coming around the bend. Tanya, it's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. So we will have Tanya on next year. If you can believe it, we're almost at the end of 16, and we got some big things coming here. So for Tanya Christina, this is Eric Fiorello. This show will be up within the next 5 days. We're going to have plenty of time to get caught up, and that's going to be a good thing. And I'm going to take a little bit of a rest. So as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you, but we take it one step further. We believe in you, and we have your back, and don't ever forget that. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.